had stand downhearted because of my sin, longing for heaven but unworthy to go in. But one who was worthy shed his blood on Calvary. Satan shouted guilty, but Jesus cried redeemed. Unworthy, unworthy, but made worthy through the blood of the Lamb. Forbidden from heaven, but forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Now life has new meaning because I am free, rejoicing to know Jesus died for me. Now my steps are lighter since he lifted the shame. No longer sin covered, but buried in his name.
We have again come to the time of the season where we celebrate the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question will be asked, why do we celebrate the crucifixion? It is because that through the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were again joined together with the God of the universe. Jesus Christ came to break the curse that was put up between us, between the human race and God, by our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. When one studies the Word of God, we can clearly see the holiness of God, how unapproachable God is for a sinful human being. You cannot approach God when you are dead in trespasses and sin. And then Jesus, our Savior, came and took the reproach away. He became a curse for us. The Bible teaches us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I want to speak to those today who are caught up in religion. Yes, they will celebrate the time of the crucifixion. They will go to church. Many religions will have church for 3 or 4 days. But the question is, how many of them know the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of those people who celebrate or who honor that holiday, how many of them don't even know why they are honoring this incredible holiday? God wants us to understand why we celebrate the crucifixion. many religions, and I grew up in a religious organization, and we went through the formalities every year. We were taught that Jesus was crucified at that time, but nobody took the time to explain why he was crucified. All we did was do our duty. We went to church twice a day, morning and in the evening, for 3-4 days. And sometimes I wondered, why is all this church going so important? Nobody ever even attempted to explain why we were going through those formalities. And the reason was nobody, not even the preacher, understood. So today I will explain by scripture why we need the Lord Jesus Christ, why the crucifixion was so important. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, O God, for the crucifixion. Lord God, you will open people's hearts and ears and minds to this incredible event. I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. When somebody grows up in a religion where salvation through the cross of Calvary is not taught or even accepted, they will bring to themselves the beggarly elements of this world to try to appease God. They will teach people how to dress, how to do things. There's all types of rules and laws that come with religious organizations. Religious organizations differ from one another sometimes like day and night. But the idea is the same. We have to appease God for our sin. We got to do something for him to show that we are his children. So forever the religious person tries to prove himself to his God. I want to explain to you how the Apostle Paul showed us what true salvation is. And I will explain to you how unapproachable God was before the Lord Jesus Christ came to make things right between the human race and God. It tells us in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 1, "My brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It tells us here, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That means those who are into circumcision. The Apostle Paul came straight out and named the people that were against true salvation. He called them evil dogs. He called them evil workers. And he called them day of the circumcision. And in those days, the people that were against Christianity were the Jews. So it tells us here, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. So here the Apostle Paul puts it very simple. We have absolutely no confidence in ourselves, but we have confidence in Christ. For we worship God in the Spirit and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. In those days, when the Apostle Paul started out, the only people that really were against the gospel were the Jewish people. The Pharisees especially saw Christianity as a threat to their organized religion. And it has from that time come to our time where we see religious leaders coming against Christianity because it's a threat to their religious organization. They know exactly what would happen if Christianity would take over, the cross of Calvary being the main focus of people's adoration. So what is happening amongst religious organizations today also happened when in the time of the Apostle Paul. People who were running the religious organizations were threatened. So it tells us we are the ones that worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in any religion. This is what the apostle really is saying here. I want you to take you now into the Old Testament, where the children of Israel wanted to prove that they were serving God. It tells us in Joshua chapter 24 in verse 14. Joshua is telling the people, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your fathers, served on the other side of the flood," that means the other side of the river Jordan, "and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." So Joshua is telling the people, serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." So the people readily said, "God forbid that we should turn to other gods, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua made a very interesting statement, which caught my attention and caught me short in my tracks when I studied it and read it. It tells us, "And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions, nor your sins." So right away, Joshua tells him, you cannot serve God. He will not forgive you your transgression or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. So here is a very interesting situation. Joshua puts it like how it is. If you even make one mistake, the Lord God will turn against you and will consume you. And I want to explain this. This is why Jesus had to come. In the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice a lamb year after year after year for the blood to cover their sin. God was basically unapproachable without the sacrificing of a lamb. And then Jesus came and took the place of that lamb and opened the door for us. I want to give you one little example how God was before the cross of Calvary. The Bible teaches us that Moses was a friend of God. There was nobody in history that was as close to God as Moses was. God spoke with him. He visited with him on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. He was a friend of God. God approached Moses on a regular basis. But Moses wasn't allowed to enter into the land of Canaan because of one mistake. And there was no forgiveness. Even though Moses tried to ask God, "Please, Lord, let me go into the land." And God said to him, "Not another word out of you. You're not going there because you sinned against me." Now, you will ask, where did Moses sin? God told him to speak to a rock that water would flow out of it so the children of Israel could drink. And instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock with his staff. That was the sin of Moses. Now I want to ask anybody who is listening to this message, what sin do you have in your heart where God would not approach you, where you could not approach God? Never mind not speaking to a rock or hitting it with a rod. This is incredible when you study it, how complete sinless God is and how unapproachable he is when you make so much as one little mistake. This is why Jesus had to come to be crucified, to take our sin upon himself, because we could not in any way satisfy God. This is why God demands that we turn to Jesus for salvation, for we ourselves cannot approach God in any other way. So I want you to open up your heart to this incredible truth. And on the next segment of this program, I will explain to you by scripture how Paul, the Apostle Paul, approaches the Lord God. And what a difference compared to Moses. So let the Lord open your heart to these incredible truths and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
He said the time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned. The younger one said, I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing.
Stands in
Universe, so unapproachable because of his holiness, how does one approach God who is called a sinner by God? The Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." A mediator is somebody who will speak good for you. You do not do it for yourself. Moses didn't have that mediator because he wasn't crucified yet. But we today have this mediator who stands between us and God. And if we try in some way to appease God by religious exercises and by our own offerings that we bring in the flesh, we will not be accepted. The Apostle Paul brings us something very interesting, how he tried to approach God before he met Jesus. He tells us in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 4, "If others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I am a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." So the Apostle Paul gives us his credentials here. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He tells us, when it came to obeying the law, I was without fault. That is very interesting. Not too many people can make that claim today, but the Apostle Paul said he obeyed the law to the T. So what does Paul think of obeying the law after he became a Christian? What does he think of doing these bodily exercises to try to appease God? Here is what he tells us in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtlessly I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus for my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung, that I may win Christ. All my righteous efforts are nothing but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is how we approach the Lord God of the universe. You come through Jesus Christ by faith, that He paid for your sin, that He took your sin upon Himself, and you lean on Him for that awesome and true salvation. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. And then he tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, and being made conformable unto His death, that I may understand what He has for me. I want to be conformed unto Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us from Scripture here. He does not lie. The only way we can approach God is through faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So here he teaches us, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ will change our vile body. If anybody wants to look up in the dictionary what vile means, he will understand why the Apostle Paul turned to Jesus Christ by faith, because he simply had no confidence in himself in performing the good that God demanded. So he says, one of these days, God will change my vile body, and then I'll be able to work with God throughout eternity. And that day is coming. One of these days, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Our vile body will be changed into a glorious body. No more hindrance, no more separation. We will spend our eternity with Jesus, rejoicing for what He did on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. I want you to pay attention to that. We cannot approach God in this vile body. We need the Lord Jesus Christ between us and God, who will intercede for us. And once we turn to Him for that salvation, He will be our mediator. And once we have Him doing that, then we have clear sailing for the rest of eternity. So let the Lord open your heart to these interesting truths and make you a blessing to yourself.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.